Chapter 5. Cupped in the warm green hollow of the Georgetown University campus, Damian Karras jogged alone around an oval, cinder-covered track in khaki shorts and a cotton t-shirt, drenched with the cling of healing sweat. Up ahead on a hillock, the lime-white dome of the astronomical observatory pulsed with the beat of his stride, while behind him, the medical school fell away with churned-up shards of earth and care. Since release from his duties, he came here daily, lapping the miles and chasing sleep. He had almost caught it, had almost eased the grief that clutched his heart with the grip of a deep tattoo. When he ran until he wanted to fall, exhausted, the grip grew much looser, and at times disappeared. For a time. 20 laps. Yeah, better, much better. 2 more. With powerful leg muscles blooded and stinging and rippling with a long and leonine grace, Karras thumped around a turn when he noticed someone sitting on a bench to the side where he'd laid out his towel and his sweatsuit jacket and pants. It was a portly, middle-aged man in a floppy overcoat and a pulpy, crushed felt hat. He seemed to be watching him. Was he? Yes, his stare always following as Karras passed. The priest accelerated, digging at the final lap with pounding strides, and then slowing to a panting, gulping walk. As he passed the bench without a glance, both fists pressed light to his throbbing sides. The heave of his muscular chest and shoulders stretched his t-shirt, distorting the stenciled word "Philosophers" inscribed across the front in once black letters now faded by repeated washings. The man in the overcoat stood up and began to approach him.
Father Karras?
Kinderman called to him hoarsely. The priest turned around and tersely nodded, squinting into sunlight as he waited for the homicide detective to reach him, then beckoned him along as once again he began to move. "You mind? I'll cramp," he said pantingly.
"Oh, not at all," the detective answered,
nodding with a wincing lack of enthusiasm as he tucked his hands into the pockets of his coat. The walk from the parking lot had tired him.
Have we met?" asked the Jesuit.
"No, Father, no, we haven't. But they said that you look like a boxer, some priest at the residence hall, I forget." He was tugging at his wallet. "I'm so terrible with names."
"Uh-huh. And what's yours?"
"Lieutenant William F. Kinderman, Father."
He flashed his identification. "Homicide."
"Oh, really?"
Karras scanned the badge and identification card with a shining, boyish interest. Flushed and perspiring, his face had an eager look of innocence as he turned to the detective and said,
"What's this about?"
"Hey, you know something, Father?" Kinderman answered with an air of sudden discovery while inspecting the Jesuit's rugged features.
"It's really true, you know. You do look like a boxer. Excuse me, but that scar there right over your eye?"
He was pointing. "Just like Marlon Brando, it looks, and on the waterfront, Father." "Yes, almost exactly Marlon Brando."
"They gave him a scar," he was illustrating, pulling at the corner of his eye, "that made his eye look a little bit closed, a little dreamy all the time, a little sad."
"Well, that's you," he concluded. "Marlon Brando. People tell you that, Father."
"People tell you that you look like Paul Newman?"
"Always. And believe me, inside this body, Mr. Newman is struggling to get out. Too crowded. Inside here is also Clark Gable."
Half smiling, Karras slightly shook his head and looked away.
Ever done any boxing?" the detective asked him.
"Oh, a little."
"Where? College? Here in town?"
No, in New York."
"I thought so. Golden Gloves. Am I right?"
"You just made captain," Karras told him with a sidelong smile.
"Now then, what can I do for you, Lieutenant?"
"Walk slower." The detective pointed to his throat.
"Emphysema."
"Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sure. Do you smoke, Father? Yes, I do. You shouldn't. Listen, what's this about? Could we get to the point, please, Lieutenant? Yes, of course. Okay, I've been digressing, I know. Incidentally, you're busy. I'm not interrupting. Karras turned a sidelong look to Kinderman again with a smile of bemusement in his eyes. Interrupting what? Well, mental prayer, perhaps. I think you're going to make captain soon, you know that. Father, pardon me, I missed something. Karras shook his head. I doubt that you ever miss a thing. What's your meaning, Father? What? Kinderman had halted them and mounted a massive effort at looking befuddled. But seeing the Jesuit's crinkling eyes, he lowered his head and ruefully chuckled. Ah, well, of course. A psychiatrist. Who am I kidding? Look, it's habit with me, Father. Schmaltz. That's the Kinderman method. Well, I'll stop, and I'll tell you straight what it's all about. The desecration, said Karras. So I wasted my schmaltz. Sorry. Never mind, Father, that I deserve. Yes, the things in the church, he confirmed. That's correct. Only maybe something more than that, Father. You mean murder? Yes, kick me again, Father Karras. I enjoy it. Karras shrugged. Oh, well, homicide division. Never mind, Marlon Brando. People tell you for a priest you're a little bit smart-ass. Mea culpa, Karras murmured. Though he was smiling, he felt a regret that perhaps he diminished the detective's self-esteem. He hadn't meant to. And now he felt glad of a chance to seem perplexed. What's the connection, he said, taking care that he wrinkled his brow. I don't get it. Kinderman moved his face in closer to the priest's. Listen, Father, could we keep this between us, confidential, like a matter of confession, so to speak? Yeah, sure, of course, Karras answered. What is it? You know that director who was doing the film here, Father, Burke Dennings? Yeah, I've seen him around. You've seen him, the detective said, nodding. And you're also familiar with how he died? Karras shrugged. Well, the papers. That's just a part of it. Oh? Yes, part. Only part. Listen, what do you know about witchcraft, Father? Karras grimaced in puzzlement. What? Listen, patience, I'm leading up to something. I hope so. Now then, witchcraft. With this subject, you're familiar? From the witching end, Father, not the hunting. Karras smiled. Yeah, I once did a paper on it. From the psychiatric end. Oh, now really? Oh, that's wonderful. Great. That's a bonus, Father Brando. Really, you could help me a lot more than I thought. Now then, listen. He reached up and gripped the Jesuit's arm as they rounded a turn and approached the bench. All right. Me, I'm a layman and not very well educated. I mean formally, Father. But I read. Look, I know what they say about self-made men, that they're horrible examples of unskilled labor. But as for me, I'll speak plainly, I'm not at all ashamed. Not at all. Abruptly, he arrested the flow, and looking down, he shook his head. Schmaltz, he moaned. I can't seem to stop it. He looked up. Look, forgive me, you're busy. Yes, I'm praying. The Jesuit's delivery being dry and expressionless, the detective abruptly halted their walk. You're serious, he asked. And then he answered his own question. No. He faced forward again and they walked. Look, I'll come to the point. The desecration, said Kinderman. Do they remind you of anything to do with witchcraft? Yeah, maybe. Some rituals used in Black Mass. A plus. And now Dennings. You read how he died? Yes, in a fall down the Hitchcock steps. Well, I'll tell you, and please, confidential? Sure, of course. The detective looked suddenly pained as he realized that Karras had no intention of resting on the bench. He stopped, and the priest stopped with him. Do you mind, he asked wistfully. Mind what? Could we stop, maybe sit? Yeah, sure. They began to move back toward the bench. You won't cramp, Father? No, I'm fine now. You're sure? Yes, I'm sure. Kinderman settled his aching bulk on the bench with a sigh of deep content.
Ah, yes, better, much, much better. Life is not totally darkness at noon.
So, canine detective, Burke Dennings, what about him? The detective stared down at his shoes.
Ah, yes, Dennings, Burke Dennings, Burke Dennings.
He looked up and turned his gaze to Karras, who was wiping sweat from his forehead with the corner of his towel.
Burke Dennings, good father, the detective said evenly and quietly, was found at the bottom of those steps at exactly 7:05, with his head turned completely around and facing backward.
Peppery shouts drifted thinly from the baseball diamond where the varsity team was holding practice. Karras lowered the towel and held the lieutenant's steady gaze.
It didn't happen in the fall?
Kinderman shrugged.
Sure. It's possible.
But unlikely, the priest finished broodingly.
And so, Father, what comes to mind in the context of witchcraft?
Staring off pensively, Karras sat down on the bench next to Kinderman.
Well, that's supposedly how demons broke the necks of witches.
He turned to the detective.
Or at least that's the myth, he said.
It's a myth, Father?
Oh, well, sure, the priest answered. Although people did die that way, I suppose, like likely members of a coven who either defected or gave away secrets.
The priest looked off. I don't know. That's just a guess. He looked back at the detective.
But I do know it was a trademark of demonic assassins. Exactly, Father Karras, exactly. I remembered the connection from a murder in London. And that's now I'm talking, Father. I mean 4 or 5 years ago only. I remembered that I read it in the papers.
Yeah, I read that too, but I think it turned out to be a hoax, didn't it?
Well, yes, true. But in this case, at least you can see some connection, maybe, with that and the things in the church. Maybe somebody crazy, Father. Maybe somebody with a spite against the Catholic Church. Some unconscious rebellion, perhaps.
Hunched over, his hands clasped together, the priest turned his head for an appraising stare at the detective.
What are you saying? A sick priest?
That's your suspicion?
Listen, you're the psychiatrist, Father. You tell me.
Karras turned his head, looking off. Well?
Of course, the desecrations are clearly pathological, he ruminated. And if Dennings was murdered, well, I guess that the killer's pathological, too. And perhaps had some knowledge of witchcraft?
Pensive, Karras nodded. Yeah, maybe.
And so who fits the bill, also lives in the neighborhood, and also has access in the night to the church?
Karras turned and held Kinderman's stare. Then, at the crack of a bat against ball, he turned again to watch a lanky right fielder make a catch.
Sick priest, he murmured. Maybe so. Listen, Father, I know this is hard for you. Please. I understand. But for priests on the campus here, you're the psychiatrist, right?
Karras turned to him. Well,
no. I've had a change of assignment.
Oh, really? In the middle of the year?
That's the Jesuit order. Well, still, you know who was sick at the time and who wasn't, correct? I mean, this kind of sickness. You'd know that.
No, not necessarily, Lieutenant. Not at all. It would only be an accident, in fact, if I did. I'm not a psychoanalyst. All I do is counsel. Besides, I know of no one who fits the description.
Kinderman tilted up his jaw. Ah, yes, he said. Doctor's ethics. If you knew, you wouldn't tell. No, I probably wouldn't. Incidentally, I mention it only in passing.
This ethic is lately considered illegal. Not to bother you with trivia, Father, but lately a psychiatrist in sunny California, no less, was put in jail for not telling the police what he knew about a patient.
Is that a threat?
Don't talk paranoid. It's nothing but a casual remark.
Kara stood up and looked down at the detective.
I could always tell the judge it was a matter of confession, he said, and then added, plainly speaking.
The detective stared at him dismally. Wanna go into business, Father? He asked him. And then he stared out at the baseball practice field.
Father? What father? You're a Jew who's trying to pass, but let me tell you, you've taken it a little bit far.
Getting up from the bench, Karras chuckled.
Yes, laugh, said the detective as he glared up at Karras moodily. Go ahead and enjoy, Father. Laugh all you want.
But then he beamed, looking impishly pleased with himself, as he looked up at Karras and said, Father, that reminds me. The entrance examination to be a policeman?
When I took it, one question on the test was, what are rabies and what would you do for them? And someone answered, rabies are Jewish priests and I would do anything that I possibly could for them.
Kinderman raised up a hand and said,
honest, I swear to God, it happened.
Karras smiled warmly at him. Come on, Lieutenant. I'll walk you to your car. Are you parked here in the lot? The detective looked up at him, reluctant to move. Then we're finished? He asked disappointedly. The priest put a foot on the bench, leaning over with a forearm resting on his knee.
Look, I'm really not covering up, he said. Really. If I knew of a priest like the one you're looking for, the least I would do is let you know that there was such a man without giving you his name. Then I guess I'd report it to the provincial. But I don't know of anyone who even comes close to the man that you're looking for.
Well, said Kinderman, looking down and with his hands again stuffed in the pockets of his coat. I never thought I was a priest in the first place.
Nah, not really.
He looked up and gestured with his head toward the lower campus parking lot.
I'm parked over there, he said.
He stood up and they started walking, following a path to the main campus buildings.
What I really suspect, the detective continued, if I said it out loud, you would call me crazy. I don't know, he said, shaking his head. I don't know. All these clubs and these cults where they kill for no reason. It makes you start thinking things.
To keep up with the times these days, he bemoaned, it seems you have to be a little bit demented. He turned to Karras. What's that thing on your shirt? He asked him, motioning his head toward the Jesuit's chest. What do you mean?
On the T-shirt. There's writing there. Philosophers? What's that?
Oh, yeah, I took a few courses 1 year, Karras told him, at Woodstock Seminary in Maryland. I played on the lower-class baseball team, and we were called the Philosophers.
Ah, I see. And the upper-class team?
Theologians. Faintly smiling, the detective lowered his gaze to the pathway.
Theologians 3, Philosophers 2, he mused.
No, Philosophers 3, Theologians 2.
Oh, yes, of course. That's what I really meant to say.
Of course.
Strange things, the detective said broodingly.
So strange.
Listen, Father, he said, turning to Karras. Listen, Doctor. Am I crazy? Or could there be, maybe, a witch coven here in the District of Columbia right now? Right now? Today?
Oh, come on, Karras scoffed.
Aha! Then there could be.
Then there could be? How do you figure that?
All right now, Father, I'll be the doctor, the detective declared with an air of pouncing as he poked at empty air with an index finger. You didn't say no, but instead you were smart-ass again. That's defensive. You're afraid you'll look gullible, maybe. A superstitious priest in front of Kinderman, the rationalist, the age of reason made flesh, and now walking beside you. All right, look me in the eye now and tell me that I'm wrong. Come on, look already, look. Yeah, see? You can't do it.
Karras turned his head to stare at the detective now, with a mounting surmise and respect.
Why, that's very astute, he told him. That's very good. Well, all right then, said Kidman. So I'll ask you again. Could there maybe be Witch Cubbins here in the district?
Karras turned his gaze to the pathway, looking thoughtful. Well, I really wouldn't know, he said. But there are cities in Europe where black masses are said.
You mean today?
Oh, yeah, today. In fact, the center of Satan worship in Europe is in Turin, Italy.
Weird. Why so?
That's where the burial shroud of Christ is kept.
You're talking Satan worship just like the old days, Father?
Listen, I've read about those things, incidentally, with the sex and the statues and who really knows what. Not meaning to disgust you, by the way.
But they did all those things? It's for real?
I don't know.
Well, just your opinion then, Father. It's okay. I'm not wearing a wire.
Karras shifted a wan, wry smile to the detective and then turned his gaze back to the pathway.
Well, all right then, he said.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's for real. Or, all right, let's just say I suspect so. And most of my reasoning is based on pathology.
Yeah, sure, okay. Black mass, it happens. But anyone doing those things is a very disturbed human being, and disturbed in a very special way.
There's a clinical name for that kind of disturbance, in fact. It's called Satanism, meaning people who can't have any sexual pleasure unless it's connected to a blasphemous action.
And so I think, wait, you mean suspect? Yes, I suspect that black mass was just used as the justification. Is used. Was and is, the detective echoed dryly. And the psychiatric name for the disorder in which the person is always having to have the last word? Charismania, said the priest with a smile. Thank you, Father. This was formerly a lacuna in my vast store of knowledge of the strange and exotic. In the meantime, please forgive me, but the things with the statues of Jesus and Mary? What about them? They're true?
Well, I think this might interest you as a policeman.
Karras's scholarly interest aroused and stirring.
His manner had grown quietly animated. The records of the Paris police still carry the case of a couple of monks from a nearby monastery. He scratched the back of his head as he tried to recall.
Yeah, maybe the one at Crepy, he said at last.
The priest shrugged. Well, whichever. Some town close by. At any rate, the monks came into an inn and got belligerent about wanting a bed for three. The two of them and a life-sized statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary that they carried in with them.
Oh, that's shocking, breathed out Kinderman. No kidding.
But it's a fair indication that what you've been reading is based on fact.
Well, the sex may be so, this I can see. That's a whole other story altogether, Father. Never mind. But the ritual murders now, Father.
That's true?
Now, come on. Using blood from the newborn babies?
The detective was alluding to something else he had read in the book on witchcraft, describing how the unfrocked priest at Black Mass would at times slit the wrist of a newborn infant so that the blood poured into a chalice and was later consecrated and consumed in the form of Holy Communion.
That's just like the stories they used to tell about the Jews, the detective continued. How they stole Christian babies and drank their blood. Look, forgive me, but your people told those stories.
If we did, forgive me.
Go and sin no more, Father, you're absolved.
like the shadow of some pain, but briefly remembered. Something dark, something sad, flitted swiftly across the priest's blank stare. He turned his head and looked ahead.
Yeah, right. You were saying, Father?
Well, I really don't know about ritual murder, Karras said. About that, I have no clue. But I do know that a midwife in Switzerland once confessed to the murder of 30 or 40 babies for use at Black Mass. Oh, well, fine. Maybe she was tortured into saying that, he amended with a shrug. But she sure as heck told a convincing story. She described how she'd hide a long, thin needle up her sleeve so that when she was delivering the baby, she'd slip out the needle and stick it through the crown of the baby's head and then hide the needle again. No marks, Karras said as he turned a glance to Kinderman. The baby looked stillborn. You've heard of the prejudice European Catholics used to have against midwives?
That's how it started. Oh, my God. Yeah.
This century hasn't got a lock on insanity.
Wait a minute, wait now. These stories, Father, like you said, they were told by some people who were probably tortured, correct? So they're basically unreliable. They signed the confession, and later the machers, the pious schmies, and the haters, they filled in the blanks. I mean, there wasn't any habeas corpus then, right? No writ of let my people go? Very true, Lieutenant. But then a lot of the confessions were voluntary. Who would volunteer such things? People who were mentally disturbed? Ah, another reliable source. Well, you're probably right about that too, Lieutenant. Let's forget this. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
You do it so well.
Lieutenant, one thing that we sometimes tend to forget is that people psychotic enough to confess to such things might also be psychotic enough to have done them. Here's an example. All the myths about werewolves, let's say. So, okay, they're preposterous. No one can turn himself into a wolf. But what if a person was so disturbed that he not only thought that he was a werewolf, but he also acted like one? Is this theory now, good father, or fact? Fact. There was a William Stumpf, for example. Maybe his first name was Karl. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Anyway, a German in the 16th century. He thought he was a werewolf and murdered maybe 20 or 30 young children.
You mean he, quotation marks, father, confessed it? Yes, he did, and I think the confession was valid. When they caught him, he was eating the brains of his two young daughters-in-law. From the baseball practice field, crisp in the thin, clear April sunlight, came the ghosts of chatter and ball against bat.
Come on, Price, let's shag it. Let's go get the lead out.
They had come to the parking lot, and for a brief space of time they walked in silence until, at last, when they had come to the squad car, the detective turned a mournful, moody look to the priest.
And so what am I looking for, Father?
I don't know. A psycho on drugs, maybe? Staring down at the sidewalk, the detective thought it over and then mutely nodded.
Yes, Father, right, yes. Yes, maybe so.
He looked up, his expression now pleasant.
Listen, Father, where are you going? You want a ride?
Oh, no, thanks, Lieutenant. It's just a short walk.
Never mind that. Enjoy, the detective told him, motioning Karras to get into the back seat of the car. Then you can tell all your friends you went riding in a police car. I will sign a certificate attesting to it. They will envy you. Come on now, get in.
With a nod and a sad half-smile, the priest said,
okay.
And he slipped into a seat in the back of the car while the detective squirmed into it beside him from the opposite side.
Very good, said the detective, a little short of breath. And incidentally, good father, No walk is short. No, none.
He turned to the policeman at the wheel and he said, Avanti. Where to, sir?
36th Street and halfway down Prospect, left side of the street.
As the driver nodded and started backing the squad car out of its parking spot, Karras turned a mildly questioning look to the detective.
How do you know where I live, he said. It's not a Jesuit residence hall? You're not a Jesuit?
Karras turned his head and stared through the windshield as the squad car slowly headed for the campus front gates.
You're right, he said softly.
He had moved his quarters to the residence hall from his Holy Trinity courtyard location just a few days before, in the hope it might encourage the men he had counseled to continue to seek his help.
You like movies, Father Karras?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
You've seen Lear with Paul Scofield?
No, I haven't.
Hmm. Me, I've seen it. I get passes.
Hmm. Good for you.
I get passes for the very best shows, but Mrs. K, she gets tired very early. She never goes.
Hmm. That's too bad.
Yes, I hate to go alone. You know, afterward, I love to talk film, to discuss, to critique.
Silent, Karras nodded, then looked down at his large and powerful hands that he was holding clasped between his legs. Moments passed, and then Kinderman asked in a wistful tone of voice, Would you, like to see a film with me sometime, Father?
It's free. Yes, I know. You get passes.
Would you like to?
As Elwood P. Dowd says in Harvey, Lieutenant? When? Oh, I'll call you.
The detective was beaming. Okay, Lieutenant. Do that. I'd really like that. They had exited the campus front gates, taken a right, and then left on Prospect Street, and had arrived at the residence hall and parked. Karras opened the door on his side partway and, looking back at the detective, said,
Thanks for the ride.
Got out of the car, shut the car door, and, leaning his forearms on the open window jamb, said,
I'm sorry that I couldn't be of very much help. Oh, no, you were, said the detective. No, yes, thank you. In the meantime, I'll give a call about a film. I really will.
I'll look forward, said Karras.
You take care now. I will. And you too.
Karras pulled back from the car, straightened up, turned around, and was moving away when he'd heard,
Oh, Father, wait!
Karras turned and saw Kinderman emerging from the car and beckoning him to come to him. Karras did and met Kinderman on the sidewalk.
Listen, Father, I forgot. Totally, completely slipped my mind about the card. You know, the card with the writing in Latin on it? The one that was found in the church?
Yeah, the altar card, you mean.
Whatever. It's still around?
Oh, yeah, I've got it in my room, as a matter of fact. I was checking out the Latin, but I'm finished now.
You want it? Yes, it could show something. May I have it?
Sure. Hold on, I'll go get it for you now.
I'm obliged.
While Kinderman leaned back against the squad car and waited, the Jesuit went quickly to his ground floor room, found the card, placed it inside a manila envelope, came back out to the street, and handed the envelope to Kinderman.
Here you go, Lieutenant. Father, thank you, said Kinderman, as he lifted the envelope to his scrutiny. There could be some fingerprints, I'm thinking.
Then he looked up at Karras, with incipient dismay.
He said, Oi, you've been handling the card, Kirk Douglas? Replaying your role in detective story? No gloves, your bare hands?
I plead guilty, I guess.
And without an explanation.
Shaking his head and eyeing Karras dismally, the detective added,
Father Brown, you are not.
Never mind.
Maybe still we could find something from it.
Here he held up the envelope.
Incidentally, you studied this, you say?
Karras nodded.
Yeah, I did. And your conclusion? I await with bated breath.
I couldn't say, Karras told him. Couldn't say except whatever the motive was, hatred of Catholicism, maybe. I don't know, who knows. But what's certain is the guy who did this is very deeply disturbed.
How do you know it was a man?
Karras shrugged and looked away, his gaze following a passing Gunther beer truck as it rumbled on the cobblestones of the street.
Oh, well, I don't, he said. And it couldn't be some teenage lout?
No, it couldn't. Karras turned to look at Kinderman again.
It's the Latin, he said.
The Latin?
Oh, you mean on the altar card?
Yes. The Latin is flawless, Lieutenant. And more than that, it's got a definite style that's extremely individual.
That's so.
Yes, that's so.
It's as if whoever wrote it can think in Latin.
Can priests?
Oh, come on, Karras scoffed. Just answer the question, please, Father Paranoia.
Karras turned to stare back to Kinderman, and after a pause admitted, okay, yes. There comes a point in our training when we do, at least the Jesuits and maybe a couple of the other orders. At Woodstock Seminary in Maryland, our philosophy courses are, well, they're taught in Latin.
Why is that?
For precision of thought. It expresses nuances and subtle distinctions that English can't handle.
Ah, I see.
Looking suddenly grave, his stare intense, the priest leaned his face in close to the detective's.
Look, Lieutenant, can I tell you who I really think did it?
The detective's eyebrows furrowed with interest.
Yes, who? The Dominicans. Go pick on them.
Karras smiled, and as he turned and walked away, the detective called after him,
I lied. You look like Sal Mineo.
Karras turned with a grin and a friendly wave, and then opened the door to the residence hall and entered, while outside on the sidewalk the detective stood motionless, speculatively staring as he murmured.
He hums like a tuning fork held under the water.
For a few seconds more, he continued staring pensively at the residence entry door, and then abruptly he turned, and opening the right front door of the squad car, he slid into the passenger seat, closed the door, and told the driver,
back to headquarters. Hurry. Break laws.
Karras's new quarters in the Jesuit residence hall was sparely furnished. Bookshelves built into one wall, a single bed, two comfortable chairs, plus a desk and a straight-backed wooden chair. On the desk was an early photo of his mother, and on the wall above his bed, in silent rebuke, hung a bronze-colored metal crucifix. For Karras, the narrow room was world enough. He cared little for possessions, only that those he had be clean. He showered, scrubbing briskly, slipped on a white t-shirt and khaki chinos, then ambled to dinner in the priest's refectory, where he spotted pink-cheeked Dyer. Wearing a faded Snoopy sweatshirt, Dyer was sitting alone at a table in a corner. Karras moved to join him. Hey, hi, Damien.
Hey, Joe.
Standing in front of his chair, Karras blessed himself and closed his eyes, while inaudibly murmuring a rapid grace, then sat down at the table and spread a napkin on his lap. So how's the loafer, Dyer asked him.
What do you mean, loafer? I'm working.
One lecture a week?
It's the quality that counts.
What's dinner?
Can't you smell it?
Karras grimaced. Oh, hell is it. Dog day, knockwurst, and sauerkraut.
It's the quantity that counts, said Dyer.
Then as Karras reached out for a pitcher of milk, the young fey priest quietly warned,
I wouldn't do that,
while he buttered a slice of whole wheat bread.
See the bubbles, Damien?
Saltpeter. as Karras tipped up his glass to fill it. He heard the scrape of a chair as someone pulled it back and joined them at the table.
"Hey, I finally read that book," said the newcomer brightly.
Karras glanced up and felt instant dismay, felt the soft, crushing weight, the press of lead, press of bone, as he recognized the young priest who had come to him recently for counseling, the one who could not make friends.
"Owen, good, what did you think of it?" Karras asked, as if with interest.
He set down the pitcher of milk as if it were the booklet for a broken novena. The young priest talked, and half an hour later, Dyer was table-hopping, spiking the refectory with laughter. Karras checked his watch.
You want to pick up a jacket and walk across the street?" he asked the young priest.
"I like to watch the sunset every night if I can." Soon they were leaning against the railing at the top of the steps that plunged steeply down to M Street. End of day. The burnished rays of the setting sun flamed glory on the clouds of the western sky before shattering in gold and vermilion dapples on the darkening waters of the river. Once Karras met God in this sight, long ago, like a lover forsaken, he still kept the rendezvous. Drinking it in, the young priest said, "Oh, yes, yeah, so beautiful, really."
"Yeah, it is."
The campus tower clock boomed out the hour. 7 p.m. At 7:23, Lieutenant Kinderman was pondering a spectrographic analysis showing that the paint from Reagan's sculpture matched a scraping of paint from the desecrated statue of the Virgin Mary. And at 8:47, in a slum in the northeast section of the city, an impassive Carl Engstrom emerged from a rat-infested tenement building, walked 3 blocks south to a bus stop where he waited alone for a minute, expressionless, then clutched at a lamppost with both his hands as he crumpled against it, racked with tears. At the time, Lieutenant Kinderman was at the movies.